Let's pray together, church. Father, last weekend you did some amazing work in this place with our Advanced 2020 Missions Conference. God, you challenged us by allowing us to hear so many stories of those who've stepped out of their comfort zone, left their homes to serve you all over this world. Father, you inspired us with stories of how you're working all throughout this world through simple people like us. And all it takes is a willing heart to serve you somewhere in this world. But Lord, my prayer is for this place here today. My prayer is for everybody in the sound of my voice, online, on the radio, in person this morning, that you would remind us that we don't have to go across the world to serve you with all of our heart. We don't have to give a lot of money to serve you with all of our heart. We don't have to go to a foreign country where people have never heard your name to serve you with all of our heart. God, my prayer today is that you would remind us we are missionaries right where you've planted us. And to serve you with all of our heart is simply that. God, that you would allow us to give you our hearts, to hand our lives over to you, to place ourselves into your hands and let you do your work here in Albertville, around our nation, maybe even across this world. So, Father, allow us today to lean into what you have to say. God, would you speak clearly through me now? May it not be my words, but the words of your Holy Spirit. Would you allow our hearts and our minds to be open to what you have to say? And God, help us to leave here different than when we arrived. God, allow us to be all in for you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, it's my privilege to take us through a journey through the 4 weeks in February called All In. And I'll explain what that's about in just a moment, but let me begin with a story. There's a tale told of this great English actor known as McReady. An eminent preacher once asked McReady, "I wish you would explain to me something." "Well, what is it?" he asked. "I don't know that I can explain anything to a preacher." "What's the reason for the difference," the preacher asks, "between you and me?" "Because you appear before crowds night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. I am preaching the essential, unchangeable truth, and I am not getting a crowd at all." McReady's answer was this: "This is quite simple. I can tell you the difference between us." He said, "I present fiction as though it were truth. And you present truth as though it were fiction." So I wonder how many of our lives can be defined by we believe in the truth, but do people see it and hear it and believe that we believe in this truth? So this morning, as a follow-up to the amazing weekend we had with our Advanced 2020 conference last weekend, and thank you so much for praying and giving and being willing to go. You'll be hearing more about those opportunities in the weeks to come. But this morning, we begin a brand new series called All In, with the purpose of allowing our lives to be all in, sold out, 100%. God, this is me, take me and use me now for Jesus. It's one thing to say that you and I are a Christian. It's another thing to live a life that is a passionate life, an authentic faith lived out for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we are called to change the world. So my simple question I'll ask these next 4 Sundays before we leave this place: are you ready to go all in? This morning, as we begin this series, and you probably noticed you have a handout, so I'd love for you to take some notes. But this morning, as we understand what it means to be all in, we're going to understand the who of all in. So if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be looking at a few verses there in just a moment. But if you're taking notes with me, before we go all in, allow me to define this series for us. If you're like me, I want to know where I'm going. Justin, set me up a roadmap so we can walk together in the days ahead. Because I believe that's what Jesus does for us when we have the Word of God. He gives us the roadmap for life. Now, if we read it or not, that's a totally different story. But He wants to walk with us. He wants to journey this life with us, with all of our hearts. So let me define this series. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at four different words, and we're going to examine four different lifestyle applications to this all-in kind of life. This week, this morning, we're going to talk about the who. In other words, who is God calling us to be, and how He's calling us to live out loud for Him, and how we are better together. So buckle up and get ready for that. Next Sunday, I believe the Lord is leading us to understand the what. What do you mean? I love the idea that there is a huge difference between you and I being casual Christians, consumer Christians, or committed Christians. The what of living all in. Next week we'll understand and we'll dissect those three terms and see where the Lord would have us to go. And then week three, the 20th of February, we're going to look at this idea of the where. We're going to figure out where God actually dwells. A lot of people come to me sometimes, especially students, and they say, "Where is God? I don't see Him at work. I don't understand what He is doing." And I'm going to give you a surprise answer that should change the way we look at our lives and change everything about the way we live our lives. And then we'll wrap up this series at the end of February by looking at the how. How do you and I literally take our lives, place them in God's hands, put on our new selves or our new clothes, as we'll talk about that week, and live this all-in kind of life that actually makes a difference in the world? Even if we're not traveling like missionaries we heard from last weekend, across the world. God wants us to live all in. So the question is simple this morning, and will be for the next several weeks. Are you ready to go all in? And I mean really, all in. Let me also point out that we'll be offering two special opportunities, all-in opportunities, I like to call them. Maybe you got the email yesterday or the earlier this week. Maybe you've read it in your worship guide. But on Sunday mornings, I just feel led. God has been speaking clearly to me about the power of prayer. So if you want to join me in this building at 7 a.m. every Sunday morning throughout February, we're just going to gather and we're going to pray. And I want you to know today, wherever you're sitting, that seat has specifically been prayed for in both the venue and the worship service. You have been prayed for specifically today that the Lord would open your eyes and your ears to what He's doing and allow our hearts to be different. So every Sunday at 7 a.m., come and join me as we pray throughout this building. It took 15 minutes this morning to do that. And the next Sunday, God has been birthing something very exciting in my heart as far as mentoring. Maybe you think you're in this room and I don't know, the Lord's done with me. I don't know if He's still got something for me. Can I just tell you, God has something for you. And maybe it's to be a prayer mentor. Maybe it's to be a mentor to a child or to a student who needs one more than you realize. So pray with me about that. You'll hear more about that next Sunday as part of week two when we talk about the what of living all in. But further than understanding what this series is all about, let me get real practical and let's talk about defining this all-in life. If you and I are going to call ourselves all-in Christians, people who give everything we have to live for Jesus because we understand that He is God evermore, because we understand that, Holy Spirit, You're welcome here, and God, You're a good, good Father, and death was arrested because our lives have begun. If we really believe the words we're singing today, then let's define this all-in life. It's more than a series for Sunday mornings, my prayer is. It's a lifestyle. I'm talking about being fully committed, being sold out, giving everything, living genuine, real, passionate faith, living for God more than you ever have before. May this year be the year that you finally decide to cross that line that you've been tiptoeing on for so long. God, I want to be faithful, but that's so uncomfortable. Or God, I have no idea what's in the next step if I were to walk in faith with You. Let's take that step. That's what He's calling us to as His children, to be all in. I'm going to share a blog with you that I read recently. spoke to my heart. This blogger said, a couple weeks ago I met a man with an interesting tattoo written across his bicep. Not in your typical tattoo green, by the way. The words were, but if not. I read it aloud. When I asked what the tattoo meant, the man told me this phrase was from the Bible. This is the story that the tattooed man told me. King Nebuchadnezzar II reigned in Babylon from 605 to 562 BC. He conquered Judah and the city of Jerusalem, taking young Jewish men of noble or royal birth as captives. The book of Daniel tells of the survival and incredible faith of four Jewish captives, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know this story. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar decided to build this enormous 90-foot tall golden statue in modern-day Iraq. He gathered all of the important people in the empire and commanded them all to fall down and worship this statue whenever they heard music. So, of course, soon enough, the beautiful melody of horns and harps and pipes spread throughout the area, and in response, people fell on their faces, hands stretched out in worship. To Nebuchadnezzar's fury, a report was brought to his attention. Three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bend their knee and worship the gold statue. Enraged, the king commanded that the trio appear before him. Here's what the Bible says. Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not worship the golden image I have set up? When you hear the sound of music, fall down and worship the image that I have made. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into the burning fiery furnace. And what God will deliver you out of my hands? The three men replied without hesitating, O king, we don't need to answer you. Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fire, and he will deliver us from your hand. But if not, we will not bow down and worship the statue. Much faith and courage is crammed into those three tiny words, but if not. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew the sovereign Lord had the ability to rescue them from the king. They had no doubt of God's powerful might. But if God decided not to rescue them, they still possessed the courage and the faith to stand in their convictions. I asked myself, when my prayers are answered with but if not, will I continue to trust in God? King Nebuchadnezzar grew so angry, as you knew, that his face became muddled with rage, and he ordered the fire to be stoked 7 times hotter than usual. The extreme temperature of the flames killed the soldiers, throwing these faithful men into the furnace. The king looked into the fire and, to his utter surprise, saw 4 men walking around in the furnace instead of 3. The 4th man, he proclaimed, looked like the son of the gods. He called out to the 3 men. Not only did God protect them from the fiery death, but the smell of smoke as well. King Nebuchadnezzar praised God, blessing the Lord who saved these faithful servants. And then this blogger finishes by saying this. After the tattooed man finished his story, I noticed that but if not is spelled with 8 letters. The same amount of letters in the word faithful. The trio's faithfulness caused a prideful king to praise the Almighty name of the Lord of hosts. Although a tattoo isn't on my to-do list, I had to admit that this one would be pretty cool to receive. Would that describe your life? But if not, would you like it to describe your life today? If you would, let's check out our theme scripture for today as Paul addresses the topic of living our life out for the Lord, which begins with living with each other in his body. And Paul is addressing this idea of the division in God's body when he writes this letter. Would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's word? I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. The English Standard Version of God's Word says it like this. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready yet, for you are still of the flesh. For while there was jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you've believed as the Lord has assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the growth. Verse 7 says, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Verse 9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now skip down to verse 16 and I'll finish here. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? One more time. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Amen. You may be seated. So as Paul addresses this idea of division in the church, I'm following this pastor, or I'm following this leader, and I don't know if I agree with that, and all of a sudden the church becomes splintered. I think most churches of today have understood the idea of a church split. You understand what I say when I mean that? And we look back on those things and say, okay, well, God used that and he birthed a new work and he strengthened these two separate bodies. But can we not forget that regardless of the name on the building, every one of us who believe in Jesus Christ are a part of one church, one body. Regardless of the building, it's just a building. When this building is empty, I don't believe it, we can call it First Baptist Church accurately anymore. Because First Baptist Church is the people who gather. That's what the word church means. Those who are called together in the name of the Lord. Can we have church in a laundromat? Absolutely. In a coffee house? Definitely. In your home? Yes. On a college campus where we think God is nowhere to be found? Absolutely. But today we call ourselves the church because we're here. We're gathered. We're studying God's word. So I want us to understand, as we understand what it means to live an all-in kind of life, let's get this who. And I think the best way to ask the question would be, who's gone all in for you? Before Justin can ask you today, will you go all in for him? Who's gone all in for you? And I would give you what I would call the benefits of an all-in life, but also the responsibilities. So first and foremost, let's think about the benefits of this all-in life. We can probably think of someone who cares enough for each one of us that would give their life for our safety. There's probably someone, we always hear the phrase, would you stand in front of a loaded gun and take the bullet for me? Do you love me that much? Would you jump in front of a train? Well, no, probably not. But you know what I'm saying. Somebody you're willing to lay down your life for. Somebody willing to go all in. Those are what I would call all-in friends. They're 100% committed to you. They love you that much that they would give even their own lives for you. But is Jesus not the ultimate example? You know this. God's word is riddled with passages from Genesis all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation. Riddled with passages that lead us back to Jesus going all in for us. Because he loves us. Because he went all the way. He proved his love enough to actually die on the cross and gave his life for you. Plus, one of the coolest things that Jesus did for us was to leave his Holy Spirit to guide us once he left this earth. That Holy Spirit guides us daily. And if you're like me, sometimes I refer to the Holy Spirit as it instead of he. Sometimes I hear about the Holy Spirit and don't really understand what that means and how he works and who he is. Sometimes I'm confused that the Holy Spirit is just a part of God, or no, it is God. You got the whole Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and it confuses us. We don't understand the way he works. We don't understand who he is, but can I remind us? Who in the world, like the Porch family, would take their little children and move to a country that doesn't know about Jesus? Why in the world would the Vapian family move to Central Asia with three teenagers? Those are the all-in kind of people we heard about last weekend, and you and I can be the exact same. And listen, friends, if you know Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. Whether we understand Him, see how He's working, believe we're empowered by Him or not, if we call ourselves followers, disciples of Jesus, we have the same power that was there from the dawn of creation, that moved all throughout the pages of this scripture that we believe wholeheartedly, that worked in every one of the biblical Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith heroes that we read about in our Bibles, who's moved throughout this nation and this world since the beginning of time, lives in us, is available to you today. The benefits of an all-in life are endless, in my opinion. But you know, with any relationship, like God being our Father, we being His children, what a benefit that is, we also have responsibilities. So think for a moment about the responsibilities of an all-in life. Yes, we are given this new life in His Spirit, but we're called to live it for Him, all in. We were never intended, I've said this many times when I have the opportunity to bring the Word of God to you. You and I were never intended to live this life alone, to walk this Christian path, this faith by ourselves. We need other believers. We need each other. The Spirit's presence is not just an individual experience. I believe the Spirit's presence is furthered when we work together. I believe God works in community. Just think about the idea of how the Holy Spirit has given every one of us different gifts, a variety, a diverse amount of spiritual gifts. Yes, that's great on its own for an individual, but if we put those gifts together, oh, the things we can do, the variety of God's people, the variety of God's work in this world. If you were to look at 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16 again in the New Living Translation, I love the wording. It says, all of you together are God's temple, and God's Spirit dwells within you. All of you together. Yes, God's Spirit dwells in you individually. Yes, you are God's temple, and He lives within you individually. But friends, there's strength in numbers. We are better together. There is power when the people of God gather, assemble, teamwork, unity. It's the fellowship of the believers. And I believe it's essential for us to truly understand and know and see God working. When you and I fly solo, let's just be honest, it may work for a little while, but it's not the way God had designed it. Because it becomes all about our independence and all about our self-sufficiency, and all of a sudden we find ourselves flat on our face. We mess things up when we try to do it alone. So the last thing I would encourage us this morning is simply with the question, are you ready to go all in? Because I think there's two things we have to understand. Two steps we've got to take if we're going to cross this bridge, all in kind of life. And you're probably familiar with the song by Matthew West, which is burned into my heart. It's the whole idea that birthed this message series. He sings this song about stepping to the edge and God calling me to dive in, go deeper, to go all in. And I'll share that with you in the weeks to come. But let's think for a moment about this dependence on Him. Because you and I, we were designed from the moment we were born. In this world, in this culture that we've all grown up in, we were designed to live for ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to be dependent independent individuals. But I don't believe that's what God teaches us when it comes to living out our faith, living the life, this rebirth, the Christian life. Getting the most out of this Holy Spirit-filled life, I believe, means we depend on Him and we depend on others. Think about this phrase, the body of Christ that we use that is described in Scripture. It's spiritual gifts distributed among His people, not just to one person alone. We benefit from each other. Intergenerational, in my opinion, which you'll hear about more next week. Younger, older, somewhere in the middle, every one of us can benefit from each other when we listen to and we learn from each other and each other's journeys. We need each other. Which leads me to the last point. Yes, it begins with dependence on Him, but I believe the all in life continues with interdependence on one another. Interdependence on each other. Chris Tigreen, one of my favorite devotional writers, said it like this, talking about relying on other people and being the church, the body of Christ. He says, the more we share in those experiences with others, the broader our own experience with Him becomes. So, what's the who of being all in? Who is the who? It's all of us. It's all of us together. Yes, it begins with you individually, but it's all of us together. So I close by asking this same question. What's your next step? If God is calling us to be all in, to take that step of faith more than ever before, what is your next step? Maybe it's to seek fellowship, to get more involved in worship services or Sunday school small groups, to get more involved in Wednesday night discipleship, or to find your place throughout this building and throughout this city to serve God in practical ways on a regular basis. Maybe it's an accountability, finally asking that person who you know is a follower of Christ, I need your help. I need an accountability partner. I need somebody I can call 24/7. I need somebody I can unload to, vent to. Maybe this year is the year you find that partner to walk with you through the personal things in your life as you try to walk more faithfully with the Lord. Maybe for you it's, I just got to better those spiritual friendships. I've got a lot of friendships, but if I'm honest, Justin, those friends don't draw me closer to the Lord. There's individuals I need to step away from in a certain sense, and individuals I need to pull into my circle of influence so that I can walk more faithfully, be this all-in kind of individual that we're calling you to be today. Whatever it would be, whatever the step would be, maybe for some of us it would be to come down front and speak to me or to Stephen at the end of the service and say, I need a church home. Or I'm a member of this church, but I've never been baptized. I've never understood what it means to follow through with believer's baptism and how that is a step of obedience, a step of faith for me to display the change that's happened on the inside of my heart because I've given my life to Jesus. Or maybe, just maybe, you would say, I don't know that I've given my life to Jesus. This message about going all in is not just for the Christian who is tiptoeing through this so-called faith. It may be for you today when you would say, you know what, I've been playing this church game for too long. It's about time that I stepped in, that I gave it my all. So like I said earlier, the question is simple. Are you ready to go all in? To make 2019 the year you can say, God, I gave my heart fully to you and to the work you're calling me to. Not sure how that plays out. Not sure what that looks like. Not sure what the days ahead will be like. But God, I want to give my heart and my life fully to the work you're calling me to be your missionary, to shine your light as I live my life. Church, let's go all in. Let's pray together. So God, that's who we are. Just simple people who are bowed before a holy God. And we feel so far from you sometimes. We feel like you're so distant. Like we could never stand in your presence, never relate to who you are because of the work that you've done. We may not understand your Holy Spirit. We may not know what that looks like in our individual lives. But Father, my prayer is that God, you would remind us that you're at work. That if we call ourselves yours, if we believe you are our Lord and Savior, that changes everything. And that should change us and the way we live and the things we do. words we speak, everything about our lives, Father. Would people know Jesus because they know us? Would people see Jesus because of the way we live all in for you? So I pray for my brothers, my sisters, young and old, everywhere in between. God, that you would allow us to commit our hearts and our lives fully to you. That we would give you all of us for all of you. So God, our prayer is simple. Just have your way. Speak to your people. God, if they need somebody to pray with them, would they feel comfortable to come down and talk with me? These altars are open. Lord, whatever you want to do, you move now as we commit our hearts and our lives to you, to be all in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we close?